Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, Spirited Conversations with Interesting People. I'm your host, Christopher Hart. I'm just going to go ahead and just pour all that right now. So, and I need an extra big drink because people are mean. So I know that when you put yourself out there in a podcast, you're not always going to be everyone's cup of tea. And I also know that I definitely am not going to make a habit of this, but I wanted to – I got sent – one of my podcast reviews on iTunes from someone, and I liked it so much. It was constructive. It was healthy. It was honest. I had no complaints with it. It was 4 out of 5 stars, which I appreciate that. And I hope I'm not embarrassing this person. It's anonymous. I don't know who you are. I thought it was hilarious. My wife, I do this thing where I, when I taste stuff, I do a little slurp thing, and it's something that I aerate the whiskey to kind of taste it more. I also know that it's not super pleasurable to hear on an iTunes audio podcast. So my wife has always hated it. She said it was embarrassing, and we talk a little bit about that in this week's episode. But I'm just going to read you this review real quick, and I liked it. Well, you know what? I'm going to give you the shortened version of this because there's another reason I wanted to bring this up. But the review basically says that overall, it's very good. I enjoy the guests and the attitude of the show. I'd give it 5 stars if not for 2 reasons. One, stop talking about Wade Woodard. I loved it. I really did. Two, Chris makes a noise with his mouth when he drinks. So I thought it was hilarious. I read it to my wife. She died laughing. I really appreciate the honest feedback on the show. But when I went to go pull this review up to show my wife, there was another review, my first bad review. And it was so mean. And the only reason why I'm bringing it up is this. I'm by no means an expert in anything, let alone whiskey. I enjoy whiskey. I love whiskey. And I especially love peated whiskey, Islay whiskey. It's my heart will always begin and end in Islay off the coast of Scotland. I'm bringing it up because when I am wrong in this show and you tell me I am wrong, I'm going to admit it. There's a podcast I listen to that refers to it as the corrections department. Anytime he gets corrected after one of his episodes, he gets tweets, letting him know that he got something wrong. So I am responding to this particular case because they had mentioned that I had mixed up. There's two I had said on the episode with Diageo and Lagavulin that there's a great festival on Islay called Fish Islay that is a jazz festival. Apparently, that's a separate thing, that there are actually two festivals, and I screwed those up. So my apologies there. Now, that being said, there was a lot of ugliness in your review, and it wasn't very constructive. But I will tell you that he also corrected me saying Lagavulin is vatted from refill sherry casks. That's not true because Diageo doesn't disclose the composition. I will tell you that that is what I was told by the warehouse manager at the distillery, and I've been told that several times by brand managers. Now, it may not be something they list somewhere on a website, but that is something I was told directly at the distillery. Doesn't mean it was right or wrong, but it's also not a lie. You said I lied. Listen, I'm wrong all the time. Ask my wife. But I just wanted to address those two things. So I definitely confused the festival in Islay. You know, my wife was like, don't address this on your podcast. I was like, I'm going to address it. We're close. We're you and I, the viewers, we're friends. I want to be able to say I'm wrong when I'm wrong. But also, I'm just a person, man. I'm not an expert. So, I'm going to be wrong. That being said, today's episode was a little different. I say that every week as well. It's always a little different. So we had on Zachary Cherbach. Zachary Cherbach is a friend of mine who is a quickly becoming a rising star in the cocktail scene here in Houston. He created this phenomenal cocktail that's competing in a Bacardi competition. So he came on to talk about it. Love Zach. He's a great guy. We brought on Dwayne Fernandez. Dwayne is this larger than life personality that has been doing this for a while, but here in Houston for the last 3 or so years. He's with Bacardi. We definitely tasted through some of the older, more premium expressions from Bacardi, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I especially enjoyed the 10. He left it for me to keep, which is nice. Our friends over at Smoking and Toasting will often say that they do their show solely for free samples, and I'm starting to see the genius behind it. So I need to jump on that more. I also brought on Peter Clifton from Ready Room. Last week, we talked a little bit about Ready Room and their Copper Kings pear brandy pick. Peter has opened a very well-received bar here in Houston called Ready Room, The Ready Room, and is doing big things here. So we just came on and talked rum, talked cocktails, talked a little bit about everything. And we actually go for one more extra segment on iTunes. So for those on Facebook, you are getting an hour. There's another 15 or so minutes on the iTunes portion. So, all right. We got a couple of shirt orders in. Our shirts are here. You guys have seen that. Got one from Kansas. Got a couple from California. Guys, this is cool. Yeah, so you can get the shirts at mywhiskeyneat.com. We are still selling our glassware as well at mywhiskeyneat.com. The whiskey social is in full swing. It is just a couple of months away. We are now in January of 2019. This is our first episode of the year, and the festival is on March 30th. We are over halfway sold for the event, and I will tell you, you shouldn't wait because right after the rodeo, it's going to explode. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, go get them. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the feedback, even the really, really mean feedback that leaves me awake late at night, drinking to myself, crying in a pillow. But you guys are fantastic and I appreciate it. So cheers. Zach, you got to tell me about this. It smells, you know what it smells like? It reminds me of do you remember those cups of lemon sorbet that you'd get from the guy that drive the truck of ice cream down there? To me, it smells like
the Italian ices.
Italian ices,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't had one of those, God knows how long.
The lemon one. With the wooden spoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 with the wooden spoon.
Oh, my gosh. I probably had one
like
that.
And it kind of tastes like a little, not woody, but there's a note there that's basically candy in a cup.
There's a slight kind of a Mediterranean spice kind of thing. That's where we're getting that woody note. It's a turmeric cinnamon syrup, so that kind of comes in and has a little earthy quality to it.
So what's this for? Kind of walk us through it. Why are we drinking cocktails on Whiskey Neat?
Well, the reason why we're drinking rum cocktail, and I'm nowhere in name of you guys, is for Bacardi Legacy. Bacardi Legacy is a worldwide competition that challenges bartenders to create the next classic cocktail, the next mojito, the next Cuba Libre, the next iconic cocktail.
The next Jack and Coke.
The next Jack and Coke. Yeah.
Cuba Libre, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So walk me through it. We talked a little bit last week with Nathan and Robbie. About, I keep wanting to call him Bobby. I know his name is Robbie, but I don't think I've ever called anyone Robbie before. So it's in my mind, I keep wanting to say Bobby. But we talked last week a little bit about some of the footprint that goes above and beyond what people, you know, sell every day. So typically, you know, everyone knows Bacardi, everyone knows Bombay Sapphire, right? Everyone's familiar with these iconic brands, but there's this thing that happens from the industry perspective that a lot of people on the consumer level have no idea, and that's these incredible competitions where you guys travel over the world. So what's special about this? Like, walk us through your cocktail. You're a finalist, and what's happening next?
Yeah, so I'm one of the 24 national finalists, and
the only one representing Texas, by the way.
Thanks for the pressure, guys. but yeah, I'm one of the finalists, and what Legacy is for a lot of people is a platform to start something bigger than themselves. People have started movements like bartender wellness and things like that, or health wellness. I'm sorry. It's morning. I haven't had coffee. But things like that. And so I'm using this as a platform to kind of preach harmony and bring the world together.
Sure. Sure. So, and if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Chris Morris, who's been on the show before,
he was last year's finalist.
And I always say this, I think that he should have gone all the way. Just not that I'm speaking just on the behalf of Texas, but like his campaign and his cocktail and his message was just really on par of like the people from across the world. So, and right before him was Rebecca Burkhart. From Johnny's Gold Brick. So we, you know, Zach is coming through a legacy of like,
Houston's got quite the trend.
Yeah.
Of great bartenders. Yeah. So yours was ranked third initially during the how does that work? The not semifinals, but the...
So the way they changed it up this year compared to last year. And so this year, all we had to do was submit our cocktail through liquor.com.
Sure.
And then submit a little bit about it, our story, and why... Why do you legacy? What's our motivation to go on? And then they will sit there and taste and make all of our submissions.
There were over 700 submissions this year. And so if we cut out the folks that didn't qualify, the initial qualifications, there were about 500 that they had to recreate and taste. And so Zach being one of the many that was chosen, the one of Texas.
The only one in Texas. Yeah. That's incredible. So what's next? You're going to Puerto Rico.
Yep. I'll be traveling to San Juan to do two parts of my presentation. I'll be doing the stage presentation where I'll be presenting my legacy and my cocktail to the world. And then my marketing presentation where I'll be marketing to the marketing judges who've been in business for many years.
So and when? What date is that for?
So it's split up between 2 days, but I'll be traveling there from February 3rd through the 8th.
Okay.
And the presentation portion of it all, stage presentation, will be on Facebook Live, I'm sure.
So come watch.
Yeah. It'll be exciting.
I think I remember watching, may have been Chris's wife who filmed the whole thing from a distance or something last year. It's such an incredible, and it tastes fantastic, by the way. What's in it?
It's a great cocktail.
So this year they added Bacardi Quattro into the mix. It's their 4-year-old Añejo, and its standing was kind of to reach out to everyone and be more outreaching and kind of ease people into these more premium aged, just fantastic rums.
Sure.
And so
we're definitely going through a rum explosion right now. I think it's still kind of quiet. It's still simmering. It's still right before the boil.
Right.
I think it's still in the industry and in the know people right now. It hasn't quite reached the market yet.
Right. And that I would agree with, because there's no doubt in my mind that anyone who's worked in this industry the past few years knows how fantastic rum is and can be. It's something that I've always talked about. I think that in general, Americans' idea of rum has been very muted or ignored. Like, you know, what most people think of rum, they're thinking of spiced rum, or, you know, not that there's anything wrong with spiced rum, but, you know, like Blackstrap, the Kraken, or the, you know, everyone's mentality around rum, they don't realize that there's a lot of incredibly great rums out there that go well beyond what you beyond Malibu, not that there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
So it's something that...
I mean, shoot, I just got a bottle off of you.
Yeah. Zach actually got his hands on a bottle of, or not yet, but about to be.
It's in your car.
Of the Blackstrap, or not the Blackstrap rum, the naval rum that from the 50s that we did at the event this year. So it's something that I think is definitely on people's radars more. They're branching out of their comfort zone of typical drinks.
Yeah, I mean, look, rum has always been part of everyone's lives, right? So, but when people think about rum, they just think about like that fun aspect of it all, right? Where are we going? You know, are we on a beach? Are we at a resort?
Sure.
Is it the summertime? You know, do we want something that's really crisp and light, like a mojito? You know, that's
oh, dude, I eat pina coladas for days.
Pina coladas, that's right?
I have a weakness for a riff. Come on, man.
but rum has always been there. I think that, you know, with the explosion of spirits overall, right? I mean, come on, we're talking about the last 10 years that American whiskey itself has really come to its, you know, forefront of like the spirit category.
Sure.
Still dominant, you know, vodka still dominates it all, you know, and gin right behind it. But like American whiskey, I think I would say 12, 15 years ago, people knew of Maker's Mark and Jim Beam, but were they really going out to drink it?
No? Sure.
And so with the, you know, with what I like to say is that we taught the consumers how to drink properly and to appreciate different spirits other than what they were used to.
Sure.
And so with American whiskey being that barrel-aged brown spirit, of course, rum was right there playing along, but it got really swallowed up through the American whiskey. Yeah. And so now what we're doing, especially with Bacardi, is that we're reintroducing rum in a different way. Saying that, yeah, we are one of the oldest spirits in the world. We can't deny
actually,
that,
I think
right?
It's the oldest distilled spirit in the world, right? I think arguably it goes further back than whiskey does.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and so, you know, and the thing about Bacardi is that Bacardi is only 150 years old, so it's still fairly new compared to a lot of like the legendary liqueurs and spirits out there, even next to like, you know, some of the gins in the world. And so with the people wanting this American whiskey, which I absolutely love, right? It's made the same type of way, except for, I mean, barrel age and American oak barrels, you know, they're used. So we're still getting those, you know, American whiskey characteristics, but underneath the Caribbean sun, you know? So whereas like in Scottish, in Scotland, it takes them, what, 33 years to get to that maturity of what
they
want.
Yeah, they're doing old stuff, yeah.
You know,
much slower process.
We could do it in 8 years, you know?
Well, and I've always said that the show itself is called Whiskey Neat, but our very first episode, we talked cognac with Pasha and Greg Doksakis. So we talked rum and cognac and anything that spends time in a barrel. We even did a gin episode. I'm in love with all spirits. We really should change the name of the show to something more, you know.
You should bring Chris on and talk about Baijiu and Maotai.
So I had Chris on. We talked Slane Irish whiskey, but...
No, Chris Wong.
Oh yeah. I still want to meet him, and he's such a man. He's such an interesting character, at least online.
There's some Asian whiskeys in
online.
Yeah, we did one episode with some Japanese whiskey with Gary Clark, with Impex, you know Gary Clark.
I know Gary Clark.
I think his focus is mostly through specs. He's not huge on premise, but anyways, the alcohol period is just such a. It's such a renaissance right now for spirit, distilled spirits all the way around.
Yeah.
Before we go much further, I know we're 10 minutes in. Who's the silent one right here? This is Peter Clifton. Peter Clifton of Ready Room. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to reach through you and give you a handshake.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Peter Clifton, proprietor at Ready Room. You guys, we talked about you last week. I know I told you off air, but we talked about you last week with Robbie on about the pear brandy that you guys did. And you guys, you know, we talked a little bit about Stag too a second ago. You guys have been made a very large impression in a short amount of time here in Houston within the scene here. So I figured it'd be fun. Dwayne, it's like you got to have him on. I was like, we just talked about him last week. So I'm excited to talk to everybody here. Thanks for coming, guys.
No, thank you so much.
Cheers. Might need to make another.
Yeah, it's actually fantastic. I'm a really huge fan of it. I don't think I've finished. Did you answer what all went into it besides the Quattro?
No, I did not. I got a little bit of a tangent. So of course he's Bacardi Quattro in there. And then I've always been heavily inspired by food. It's one of the ways my family bonded. Most people will just sit around and talk. My family always bonded through cooking and our Sunday meals.
Oh, excuse me? Okay, go ahead.
What?
You got something to say, Dwayne?
Nothing.
I guess you guys had a lot of great meals together. And
he'll tell me later.
Yeah.
I'll hear about it through a text or a call.
So food's always been important to you.
Food's always been important to me. And so one of my favorite dishes my mom always cooked was a turmeric, yellow gravy chicken. And it had this beautiful yellow hue like this does. And through its use of turmeric. So we created a turmeric cinnamon syrup. Cinnamon kind of inspired by my dad who... during the holidays, we'd always bake grandma's Christmas cookies.
Sure.
So
put cinnamon on everything during the holidays.
Oh, it's delicious.
It belongs in everything.
Cinnamon, nutmeg.
Oh, my God. You know, we talked about you too last week.
I know. I didn't watch the 2-hour episode. I'll have to go back and watch that
later. The extended version we did with Robbie, we talked about whiskey cake and how they've purposely avoided Interloop, kind of let the Interloop do their thing and not step on anyone's toes and kind of... But when they first got here, you know, the craft beer scene is ridiculously difficult to navigate. Some of the people online, the opinions, the feedback, and whiskeys, you know, HBS can be a bit brutal at times too. And when they first got here, which you were part of the team at the time, Whiskey Cake caught it on the chin a few times. And
just a couple here and
there.
Yeah,
you and Gant.
Because, of course, you had Post Weller 12 on there. And, man, those comments were fun to go through.
I think you stopped.
I think you paused the comments on that one.
There's been a few I've had to turn them off on. You know, I think it's important to be you know, Anthony Bourdain, rest in peace, had an interview he did once where he talked about how much bullshit Yelp is. And wait, can you say bullshit on air? No, I don't think so. All right, so
but said it twice, man. Come on.
Yeah, he goes, well, it's better that they be back to back for this in this case. But there's this mentality when it comes to people leaving feedback online that they forget that you're just someone who put yourself out there and started a business or a bar, and you're just a human. You're just a dad, right? I just met your daughter out there. It's you're just a person, and so when you get some people, there's like this curtain that kind of goes between some people's minds of the proprietor being a human being that's just doing the best they can. And so when Whiskey Kate got here, it kind of caught it on the chin about a few things, but they were still like new. They were still trying to get going, and you guys were and you guys
handled a new market for us,
brand new market, and you guys handled it with grace. And I always applauded Gant and Brad's approach to just, you know, and taking also, it privately and kind of making it up to that person. And I mean, Gant is probably one of the most busy persons I know. And
how hard is it to get a meeting with that man?
And he always took the time to kind of make it right. If something went wrong, if they were still trying to get the staff, you know, kind of the gears turning right. I mean, I'm sure you've had your fair share of customer experiences ugly feedback.
You've been with Gant for a little bit. I'm kind of curious about your stories.
I had bad stories. But I mean, I think also people don't realize that in this day and age, everything is on the internet. Is there. So people feel brave that there's this non-confrontational but yet bold statement they're making about people. Mm. And they don't feel anything about it because they're not looking at a person. They're just looking at a screen. Uh-huh. And that's how Yelp works. So, but I do have my quarrels with it. Anyway.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, there's actual questionable practices with Yelp itself and the way that they approach some businesses to get their stuff.
I just think the internet in general just kind of puts that screen over anything. I mean, kind of going back to the premises of what I'm trying to accomplish, it's to, I mean, I can literally text my aunt from in Singapore right now if I needed to.
Sure.
And that's amazing. And yet
the downside, you know, is
how many people do I actually talk to? How many people do I communicate with? I mean, human interaction is everything. Mm-hmm. And kind of lose that, and trying to bring that together is kind of hard.
Informing your own opinion means more than just reading what everyone else has to say about.
I, you know, it's funny you say that. I actually got my first bad review on iTunes.
Congratulations
for this show. So
you should invite them on.
It was. I wish I knew who it was so I could respond to them and just ask for some more deeper understanding. But I got my first. I got my first constructive criticized review, which I actually printed out. I was going to talk about it because it mentions Wade and a sound that I make. There's a lot of times when we do tastings, I always kind of I make that sound. It really comes through on the microphone. And my wife has hated it for years. She's always told me, stop it. It's embarrassing. And I do it on the show where it's recorded.
Culture, it's nice to slurp.
And I did it on air, and the guy left the feedback about how it – he goes, look, 4 out of 5 stars. I give you 5, but you do these 2 things I can't stand. And it, one of them is you got to stop praising Wade Woodard. He's a jerk.
Wade.
You know Wade?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We love Wade.
The other
he's a beautiful
one.
Man.
We love him.
So I've always kind of said that, you know, I think Wade's a good guy. He's just a little bit different online. And,
yes.
And this guy was like, no, don't. Like, I'm tired of hearing about it. I said, you know, fair enough. The other thing was the sound I make. And when my wife read that, she died laughing. She's like, I've been telling you for years, stop making that sound.
You know the comments you're going to get now?
If they listen. There's probably a lot of people. But 4 out of 5 stars, I took it as like, you know, that's very good constructive feedback. And then the Diageo episode I did with Myra, you know, Myra Edith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so Myra is so
love
sweet
her.
And so kind. And she was actually a little nervous because of her accent. She's like, I'm a little nervous. I was like, Amara, you're fine. And the guy ripped apart that episode and everything. And I was like, and he starts off by saying, when he does episodes with, you know, normal people, he does a great job. So I was like, then why 1 star? Like, maybe give me 3 stars. Right. Like, you know, so
critical.
He ripped that episode apart, and he actually, I made a mistake. So there's another podcast. I don't know if you guys ever heard of, Doug Loves Movies. It's a, there's a comedian that basically travels around and he does game shows centered around movies. And okay. he'll play all these games or whatever. But every time he makes a mistake on the show, he gets blasted online by all these people correcting him, like, this movie was this or this movie was that. Every time he gets ripped online, he calls up the corrections department. And he'll be like, you know, the corrections department. And I made a mistake.
The corrections
department. On Isla, do you like peated whiskeys? Yeah. I'm a huge peated whiskey fan.
Dude, Oxmoor makes the best hot toddy.
What's that? Oh, I am. Okay. No. I love, I got my start in Isla Whiskeys. Lefroy was like my very beginning. And I made a mistake and confused the Fish Isla Festival for the Jazz Festival. They do a couple music festivals on the island every year. And I thought they were the same thing, which broke my heart because I don't mind being wrong. Right. But that's like, peated whiskey is like everything. I love Isla so much. And anyway, so he ripped that episode apart. And I just thought, and I sat there and it sat with me for like 3 days. And I'm like, you know, I wish I could respond to him just so I could, one, apologize for being wrong. And two, kind of defend some of the other things he said in the interview or the review itself. But it's something that anytime you put yourself out there, if you have a bar or a restaurant and or even a brand, you know, we've all seen some brands give their life savings to create a distillery or a brand, and it just get like eviscerated and ripped apart by people.
Right. Yeah, even ourselves, we're our own brand. So
right. Yeah,
you'll be ripped apart all the time.
But not everyone's going to like me. That's one thing. But
no one likes me. I can
that's not
less.
True. You've come up on many episodes.
Hey, man.
Yes, you have. You're Dwayne. You've got the best Instagram game.
Dude, best New Year's ever.
Oh, yeah, we had fun. Yeah, we had a good
time.
This
New Year's?
Yeah, what six bars in 3 hours.
It was crazy.
How did you drink? Like, what did you...
We drank like adults, right?
Went in and
we went responsibly.
Yeah.
You know what we're doing.
We had a great time.
Did two shots and left?
No shots.
I did one shot at Johnny's. I had to do with Garrett.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had one shot with Garrett.
You snuck that in, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
Because you're already walking off to the Whataburger line, and I'm just like, damn, what's up, Garrett? All right, cool.
3 hours, six bars. I don't know if I'd have the...
Well, I mean, look, there is... New Year's Eve is the time where you celebrate everyone. You celebrate, your new energy, you know, the people that you love and respect. And
sure.
There were quite a few people that I wanted to make sure that they knew that my heart was there for them, and I wish them all the best, because I care. I care about people. And so they were... And we actually, initially, we had, I think 8 places that we wanted to...
7 or 8, and then we narrowed it down because we're like, if we're going to do this, I want to be where we're at midnight.
Right.
So it was all before midnight then?
It was all before midnight, yeah.
Yeah. So where'd you celebrate?
Johnny's Goldbrick. We had to have a Whataburger at midnight.
Yeah. Yes.
Had to do it.
It was the best thing ever, actually. It was genius, and the place was packed.
Whataburger's overrated, fight me.
Crazy.
I'm from New York, so we have great burgers up there. When I first moved here, before I moved here, my colleague Jennifer, she's like, you make sure you get to know Whataburger. And I still say Whataburger,
Chris, elaborate. Wait, you don't like Whataburger?
No, I don't hate Whataburger, but I'll tell you what Whataburger is. So I'll give you, I'm going to take the long story here. Have you seen Bird Box yet?
No, I haven't.
Talking about criticism, right?
So someone posted a review of Bird Box. He basically said that Bird Box,
why is that familiar?
It was a Netflix movie with Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Where she basically can't see. Yeah, she's blindfolded the whole movie because if you look at this thing, it makes you kill yourself. Basically, his hypothesis or he was postulating that the reason why Bird Box was a success had to do with timing and where it was released. It's for free on Netflix. If it was a movie in the movie theater, it would have been a flop. Nobody would have paid to see it. It would have been some other, but it was conveniently placed on Netflix, which means you can watch it anywhere. And the memes that came from it were hilarious. It was a success because of where it was when it was released. All about timing and placement, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Whataburger is. Well, every review that's ever been Whataburger has been at 2 a.m. when you're hammered. And
that sounds a lot like my Ninja Ramen reviews on Yelp.
Yeah, and you're basically eating these massive burgers that are only good at 2 a.m. when you're starving. No one goes at noon on a Wednesday and says, I'm going to go.
I will go there right now.
I do.
Noon on a Wednesday?
I'm guilty of that.
I will go there now.
Monday, Tuesday.
I'll probably go there after
soggy
this.
French fries.
I
would
probably take a break.
They have big burgers. I like their chicken sandwich.
What chicken sandwich?
It's huge.
It's amazing.
But it's basically French fries and overweight white people. I'm just not.
The patty melt? Amazing.
You got to talk about
overweight white people.
Go to La Lucha. La Lucha has a pharmacy burger, and it's a hybrid.
What's a pharmacy burger? Does it come with a pregnancy test?
It's a hybrid of a Whataburger and an In-N-Out burger. So good.
So it's a smaller?
No, I mean, it's the same size as a
Where is this located?
La Lucha, right where Hunky Dory and Bernadine used to be.
I had to go Google the term pharmacy burger.
But they call it the pharmacy burger, but yeah, off chain.
It's delicious?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm all for a good burger. I grew up, my 21, 22, 23, 18, 19 years of when I was, you know,
irresponsible,
enjoying college, that Whataburger was late night food, like, you know, like Taco Bell now is close at 3 a.m.
So that's where you're forming your opinion.
I've never had a great experience so you have at to noon
that,
on a Wednesday.
Well, that's a great experience because you have a memory that goes along with that Whataburger, right?
Bad memories.
but were they bad memories? Really, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you were having fun in college and you had money to get a Whataburger.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was always something that I thoroughly. It fit a need, right? It definitely fits a need. You're starving. The burgers are this big. Oh, the lettuce is falling out of the thing. Yes. Everything about that is great at 2 a.m. But I think
– I mean, you have yet to visit me in Ninja Ramen, so
– Well, all things considered, I don't know where it's at.
Good at 2 a.m.
I gotta Google it. I'll come see you at Ninja Ramen. I know everyone that – like a bunch of people that work there and we've talked about –
Chris Morris worked over there.
A lot of the greats came out of Ninja. Well, they didn't come out of Ninja.
Maybe they worked there and did a couple shifts and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, the owner, right? He's the owner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I find him fascinating in the same way I find Bobby Hugel fascinating.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never talked to either one in person. And
you should have both of them on at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
If you can nail that.
That would be hysterical. I think that'd be amazing.
It would just be them two talking. And then I would just sit back and just kind of, yeah, it's interesting. Is that too loud? Am I too close? It's weird. You know what a wunderkind is?
A what?
A wunderkind. You ever heard that term?
I've heard
the
term.
It's an old term that means someone who is young but very accomplished. Bobby Hugel, I don't know how old he is, but people who've just done a lot in a short amount of time, whereas 10 years ago, these people were just, you know, I say just bartenders, but they weren't, you know, opening all these crazy, the best whiskey bar that's known internationally. You know, Anvil's up there, you know. I mean, Ninja Ramen is talked about. I learned first from it from Alex Lee over at NASA. He is a huge fan. But there's just all these incredible places in Houston that have done so much in such a short amount of time that it's a little intimidating sitting down with them and just having a conversation.
But once you get to know them, they're just like everyone else, you know.
They're just people.
You know, there's... You know, I think that both Chris and Bobby are just genius men. And so, like, yeah, it can be intimidating, but they're just regular folks. You know, I've had some of the best times with just Bobby just getting to know who he is. And I always say that, like, you have something special and I need to be around you some more so I can learn what it is. And it's not something that you can teach or learn. It's just something – someone has something special, you know, and them too, they do, you know.
There's a term – and it skips me at the moment, but there's a term for people who they have something special about them that makes everyone want to be their friend. There's something about them that people want to spend more time with. And I get that from Morgan Weber. I enjoy every interaction I have with him. I kind of want to you want to be closer, but you also don't want to come off as like, be my best friend. Like, like you just, there's something fascinating.
It's like
about
that
them.
Slight dating phase where like, I like you, but I can't let you know that yet.
Sure, sure.
Right.
Have you seen the Good Morning Julia video?
No, I haven't.
This is basically it sums it up. There's this video that made its way around the internet, and this girl's like 20 years old, 21, but she was leaving the gym one day, and this 45-year-old guy from like Boston, he's got a very Boston accent, follows her out to the parking lot to confess he's been staring at her. He looks at her at the gym. He thinks she's gorgeous. He wants to take her out, and she's like, caught completely off guard. Do you know? So the next morning, so he somehow convinces her to, he goes, call me. So he went to go put his phone number in her phone. She's like, I'll just give him my phone and he'll put his number in and then I'll never talk to him again. And I'll know he's a creep. Right. Like I can just avoid this. But what he does is he texts his phone from her phone. So he's got her number now.
Smart.
Super, the dude's on it, right? So the next morning he sends her a video confessing his love to her. She wakes up at 9 a.m. to this video of him talking about how seeing her yesterday was one of the greatest moments. It's the most cringeworthy video. And it's like that, where you're reeking of desperation, but you're so enthralled by someone that's so fascinating, but you don't want to come off as too, like, you know, it's like, hey, it's whatever. I'm not.
Yeah, but he actually pulled the trigger.
Yeah. So I encourage you to look at the video. The video has gone viral. Like, every couple of years it resurfaces, and he talks. So he's at his house and he's filming it like this, and he's walking through his house talking about how he built everything you see in the video. I built this fan, the crown molding. Like, this is the kind of man you're getting.
Oh my gosh.
I will build this for you. And she's like, I'm 20 in college, man. Like, what are you doing? So it's the most cringeworthy video, but that's that whole thing. It's like, there's something magnetic about some people where you just kind of, I definitely am not trying to send Morgan Weber drunk videos in the morning at 9 a.m. confessing my love for him. That's not what I'm
Bobby,
saying.
Bobby, don't give your number to this guy.
Bobby, don't listen to him. But
I'm weird. I kind of find that romantic.
I want you to be obsessed with you. You want to burn bright and then, you know, flare out.
But you go all out for everything.
I'm very passionate.
I mean, your pants and your jacket. Yes.
Yeah, I'm passionate about things.
I talked about you for like, I want to say maybe 10 minutes in that last week's episode about your Instagram game. The mix between, you have a very young face, but you've got the salt and pepper in your hair. You kind of look like you're either 45 or 19. Like, I don't know how old you are. You've got a very young looking face, but like old, not old, but salt and pepper.
Matured features.
Yeah.
Every time you walk into the ready room, there's always one person when he leaves like, who's that?
Who's that guy? Yeah.
And I have to go through the whole spiel. We don't know.
It's Dwayne.
He is a wonderful human being.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, I am 45.
Are you really?
Well, 43 the 26th of this month.
Yeah. If I had to actually guess, I would have said 35.
Yeah, 43. Sorry. Why am I aging myself? But yeah, I have a young spirit, and I just like to live life. And looks don't matter. It's about the way you present yourself and what demeanor and most importantly, who you can touch. You know, I think that's what's missing in the world, is that, like, when you come into the room, like, what effect are you having on folks, and what do they leave from you, you know, when you leave? Like,
right.
So, you know, I'm always like, you can hate me or love me, I just don't care, because I'm happy just being who I am. And sometimes, you know, I just, as everyone else, we go through that really dark cycle, and we don't want to be seen or talk to anyone. And I don't want people knowing me of that person. I want people knowing me of, like, this guy.
Sure.
Comes in the room and lights it up, you know. They call me Mr. Sunshine, because I'm the first person up in the morning, hungover or not, like, good morning.
Your morning calls have destroyed me. I wake up.
Morning calls. So that's the only time my brain operates, actually.
Syndrome doesn't close till 3 a.m. on the weekend. So I get home. If I'm lucky, I'll be in bed by 4:30.
How does that work? You just stop serving alcohol at 2 and then
just
still
serve food.
And so what are we drinking now?
We are, speaking of aged spirits, right, and just rum overall.
Can you pass those down this way so I can look at the bottles?
Yeah, so Bacardi released their premium rums this year. We've had Bacardi Ultra for over about 6 years now, so it's become a staple in most bars. But today, I mean, this year we released the Bacardi Cuatro and, of course, the Gran Reserva DS, which we're sipping on. Now, so minimums are 4 to 6 years in the Cuatro, 8 to 10 in the Ocho, and 10 to 12 in the DS. And of course, we go from our master distillers. It's really about the keeping consistent with the flavor profile. So you never know what ages are the most dominant, but we like to say the 10 and 12, the 12 is the most dominant to get the flavor profile that we were looking for, which is obviously, you know, those oaky tropical notes with vanilla and cinnamon and all that fun stuff. You know,
and this is the Ocho.
Is the DS.
Oh, really?
DS. Yeah. Why not? I mean, this
you
is
went
a,
straight to the top.
Yeah. Whiskey, right. If you're gonna do it, come on. Let's take a
cheers,
sip.
Guys.
Cheers,
guys.
To the New Year's.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
I just had to consciously not make that sucking sound into the microphone. I'm trying, guys.
I mean, you already made it once today. He's arguing with a view about it, so it's all right.
Oh, this is fantastic.
It is fantastic. You know, and
it's very sweet.
I'm going to my brand ambassador zone, but, you know, we've been sitting on aged rums for years, and we never needed to, you know, release them because we had our franchise, which is our, you know, Carta Blanca, the Oro, Cartonero Negro, which is the black, gold, and silver. And so the franchise brands is what builds and makes Bacardi. And, you know, the aged rums were just family recipes that they would just pop open a barrel and celebrate for themselves. But, you know, with
the rise of whiskey spirits and people wanting to try different things. It's like, well, why not? We have enough of it. So let's enjoy it and let the world get to taste it. And so, you know, it's not that it's surprising that they've had this these aged rums. It's just that we're excited that now people get to taste them. I mean, before you had to go to distillery and try them, and now it's there for everyone to enjoy.
There's so many styles.
What's the price point on these?
The
starting with the Quattro.
The Quattro is, I believe, it's like 25, yeah. Like 20 to 25.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And the Ocho?
The Ocho 32 for 1 liter. And the DS is, I want to say, low 50s, maybe high 40s.
And you said it's a blend of 10 to 12?
10 to 12. Minimum was 10 years. Yeah.
I think I buy it for 51. Yeah. 48, if I remember correctly.
For what, the DS? Yeah. The DS? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, affordable, and they're just lovely. I mean, once again, it's, you know, having people understand Bacardi from just that, you know, Cuba Libre, that style, into like more of like sipping and sitting back and enjoying something that they truly love.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of, I'm a huge fan of just drinking it straight. Mm-hmm. As you get older, you know that whole adage about hangovers being worse. Yes, so I've noticed that when I have a lot of sugary cocktails, that next day is pretty rough.
Right.
But if I drink it straight, it's just a matter of dehydration.
But if you drink at 10 in the morning, if you drink it at 10 in the morning, the sugary drinks will be fine.
Mm. Sure. You got plenty of time for the rest of the day. And that was just one drink. You know, I don't know how much was in there, but.
I kind of want to interject on this. We talked about whiskey and rum earlier in the show, and Dwayne just hit it right on the money. You know, at Ready Room, I have, you know, 537 bottles you can choose from.
One of the best back bars in the city, I think.
It's beautiful. And I have a whole segment dedicated to rum. And so I had the Quattro, the Gold, the Superior. I have the whole line.
Thank you so much.
That the Ocho and the Diaz are really, really hard to keep in stock. And I think people like drinking things neat because we come from a whiskey-driven part of the country. And so that's what we do. We seek out these things, and they're phenomenal. I can't even keep it on the shelf.
I did not pay him to say any of that.
Yeah. And this is an unsponsored episode. So it's definitely not as one review said, marketing drivel. Right. And
it's exciting to hear, though. I mean, you know, once again, you know, Bacardi's only 150 years old. And I always say that, you know, right now everyone wants something that's artisanal or craft. And if you really think about it, just, I don't know how old you guys are, but you guys know how old I am. Just my great-great-grandmother, they made Bacardi what it is today. She was drinking it when it was artisanal. And I am Puerto Rican, so yes, she probably helped, you know, cut down the sugar canes. But so it's fairly new compared to like some of the spirits that we truly enjoy and love today.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that the most rum, the number one rum producing country in the world is Puerto Rico.
Producing?
I mean, like they distill more rum than any other place on the planet. I know I haven't heard anything to conflict that, and I don't remember where I heard it originally, so I'm unable to verify. But I'm interested if there's someone who wants to leave me a 5-star review with
the factual. Give it a bad review.
Yeah, so the
not on this episode.
But for some reason, I thought I remember reading that Puerto Rico makes more rum than any other place in the Caribbean.
I mean,
per capita, probably.
Yeah, I mean.
You can post on HBS now and see what response.
Oh, dude.
I'm not going to respond to that because I don't want to have a 1-star review just for myself. But I can look into it. It's never been mentioned to me through all the trainings that we go through. So I'm not going to validate, nor am I going to deny it.
Sure.
But we
can't confirm
out.
Or deny. Yeah. Yeah. I've tried Googling it to confirm because I remember hearing it so prominently at one point. But the Caribbean's killing it right now. There's really, I mean, between Foursquare getting number one spirit, I don't know if you guys follow Fred Minnick, but he's a big whiskey guy. He just gave Foursquare number one rum, which got posted in Forbes. And I mean, there's so many, and between everything you guys are doing, this is fantastic. I mean, I can be 100% honest with you. I've had Bacardi in stuff. I don't remember last time I had it straight. This is absolutely delicious and sweet and very caramel heavy. I mean, it's just.
And that was the whole purpose of it all. Just, you know, just to
you know, once again, we taught the consumers how to drink properly. And now they're teaching. I say this, I taught you how to drink an old fashioned, or I reintroduced you how to drink a classic old fashioned. And now you're coming into my bar telling me how to make that old fashioned.
Sure.
And the consumers are just, you know, they're foodies now, they're spirit enthusiasts, and they know what they want, they know what they like. And so we have to be there to like grow with them, and growing with them is just like giving them something that they're asking for. And so what they're wanting is something to experience that is different. And when you think about the franchise line, which we absolutely love and we thank them, because we can produce these or we can release these if it wasn't for the franchise brands, is that they've been wanting this. And so we're giving them the opportunity to enjoy it and try it. And it goes with all the wonderful rums that are made throughout the world these days. And all the rum bars that are opening up here in Houston.
Oh, yeah. Too, there's right? a ton. Yeah. I mean, Lalo's been killing it for a while.
Lalo dominates, oh, you know. But every weekend,
place. So many good memories.
But every weekend there's a tiki something of another sure. that's happening. You
tiki
know,
pop ups all over the place.
BLT just did it for New Year's Eve. You know,
yeah. One of my best stories, Lalo. Like I walked in there. I met up. Are you familiar with the guy named Peter?
The guy from
Peter Nolan.
Yeah, yeah, from Federal. Yeah, yeah.
So I meet him up.
He's starting a podcast too. Shout out to Peter. He's doing something with Dos Equis and
good for him.
And someone else. But I saw one of his. He did a magazine shoot or something for
the
podcast opening. So I'm a huge Peter Nolan fan.
Oh, he's
so
awesome.
Yeah, Peter and Federal were along the early years of being on board with everything I've been doing. So okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it was good. So we were there and I ordered this, I think it was Angostura, one of the older age rum they had.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Cause I didn't realize how cheap rum can be. Even you have the age rum. It's
yeah.
like, okay, this is so affordable. So I ordered it and this guy's like looking at me like, really, Pete? I'm like, what? And all of a sudden, I see him reaching behind the post all the way up to the top, all dusted. And he's like, you had to be that guy to order that one. I'm like, sure.
Right. Well, it's there, right?
It was there.
I mean, if it's up on the bar.
Yep. It wouldn't be dusty if there was ordered.
I mean, at
more
least you don't have a back bar like Whiskey Cake. Have to move a giant freaking ladder.
That freaking back bar at Whiskey Cake is not only do you have to carry like a separate insurance policy for hazards. I mean, that thing is 15 foot tall.
Yeah.
But I think if I were to open a bar, I think having a beautiful back bar is underrated. Like if for the places that pull off a gorgeous back bar, yeah. I think that is that's the anchor for your entire.
I'll tell you absolutely. Right now, my favorite back bar in the city will always be Cabin Foxheart. Their back
really?
Bar is beautiful. I love that old style long bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have a beautiful selection.
Long bar, that's awesome.
Dark, just. Intimate feel.
Sure.
Drives me insane seeing that back bar.
I love the place. I think.
Top three back bars in Houston.
They're up there.
So, Captain?
No, Anvil's up there.
Anvil's in there. Yeah, we got to throw that.
Got to throw Anvil in there.
I mean, I'm just going to like blow smoke in my own butt, but say Ninja Ramen.
Yeah, yeah. You can. I mean, I'll give it to you. I'm curious what your top three is.
Anvil's definitely top one, one of the top ones.
Julep has another good, great.
Julep has a really good.
The aesthetic at Julep is really nice.
They do. I think
shout out to Alba.
Shout out. What up, Alba?
I can't throw a third one in. Just quite honestly, I haven't been able to get out.
Yeah.
I've been stuck at my place, so I'm not throwing my place in.
Oh, you can throw your place in there. I mean, it's not, if you're a big fan of it, obviously.
It's still a beautiful back bar.
Obviously, it's one of your, it's something you help create it, right? So
I just don't want to be biased.
Sure, sure.
You can be biased.
There's a lot of beautiful back bars out there, hands down.
There really are.
So I haven't been out, so I'm not going to finish off that statement.
There are some great back bars. Ready Room, I said this the other day, like, gosh, your back bar is so beautiful. If you haven't gone to Ready Room, you have to go to Ready Room. They have everything, anything that you want. Plus, the bartenders are handsome.
But, said he was wearing a black sweater on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Really? Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk
upsetting.
About that. Ready Room, Anvil, I would say Julep. I have to say this, the new tiki bar downtown Kanaloa. Oh my gosh, let's not forget about High and Dry. High and Dry has a killer back bar.
High and Dry is beautiful.
High and
too
Dry.
As well.
While you're telling that story, I'm going to pour some of this Ocho.
Please. And Kanaloa has a great back bar. But, you know, those are two specific back bars. They're just rum focused back bars. But, I mean, like, for me, when you go into an establishment and the back bar is the star of the show, then you know you've done something right. And so being the star of the show is your back bar, and then you have your playmates, you know, the actors. Those are the bartenders. That's when you know you've done something really well. And I think that's what, you know, the Anvil folks have done, Ready Room you guys have done, and so has Canaloa. It's just like bring the presentation all together as like one complete solid unit of a successful establishment.
Have you talked to, do you know David Dacre?
I love David
Dacre. Doesn't know David Dacre.
I needed to. David Dacre.
Actually, I still need to talk to him.
So I also want to talk to him because I talked to him after last week's episode. He messaged me. He's great. I guess it made its way to him that we had talked about him in last week's episode. Mm-hmm. He messaged me because they mentioned that he's doing a podcast on his own called Open Bar.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful one as well.
I binge listened to a bunch of his episodes. It's fun. There's a couple of gems in there that I think people need to know. Or like, for instance, his very first episode reminds me of you because it was almost – may have been the same day that you and I had cocktails and dinner at Puccin.
Oh, yeah.
And you told me about the USBG controversy. And he had her on his show for the first episode 2 weeks before the major fallout on a national level.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like – tune into his podcast, like waiting for it to come up, and it didn't come up, which means it was right before. And then just been listened to. I did it through my computer, but his podcast is great too. And he also did an episode on humor, on what's too far, what's, you know, in today's society, what's okay and what's not okay.
Yeah.
And I am dying to sit down with him over drinks and talk about his stance on what is okay and what's not okay. In my opinion. And I may catch some flack for this. Like when it comes to comedians, I think it's imperative that they maintain their act however they want to choose it. And you don't have to go to it. You don't have to support it.
Right.
But, you know, I know there's some comedians like Tom Segura or Louis C.K. that's not supporting anything that happened or fell through. But I think that when you pay to go to a comedian, you're paying to see their act. You can't.
Right.
You can't tell them they can't make a joke about this, can't make a joke about that.
Right.
The entire art of comedy was created as a way to offset bad feelings. Like, you know, that whole, there's an old adage that with tragedy plus time equals comedy. I remember the first time I heard 9/11 jokes.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And at first, there's always that moment like, is it okay now to laugh? Is it not okay? And then as time has gone on, there's still people who have made some, you know, whatever. It doesn't make it okay. I understand people don't like it. But in my opinion, if I'm going to pay to see an act, I'm paying to see that act, whatever that act is. If I don't like it, I don't have to like it, but I'm not going to.
I mean, for
get
crying
mad
out loud,
I think
Jeff Dunham does Achmed the Dead Terrorist.
Oh, which
What's
is super
not
racist.
Up about that?
That's super racist. And guess what? I don't go see him.
No.
I'm not a. If I don't.
Are expensive too, nonetheless.
If I don't like something, I won't support something.
There's something to be said about like your delivery and,
sure.
and the messaging, right? And so, like, you know, we never want to censor anyone because we ourselves don't want to be censored, right? But
sure.
It's like, how do you deliver that message and how does it not offend anyone? I think that's the way it needs to be perceived.
But I think it's our job to figure that out. Like, in a ready room, it's one of my own personal humor. I'm always there. The first thing I always say when somebody walks in is good morning. I open it for. So if you don't pay attention to that, you don't respond, then I'm not saying anything to you.
Sure.
I'll just let you be and then we'll go from there. But you still have to test out your audience. You
sure.
still have to understand where they come from.
Oh, yeah. Time and place is appropriate. There's a guy I work with who he's adopted the extreme policy of letting his kids do what they want. Not do what they want. Say how they feel. So he doesn't censor his daughter's language. And when she was six, it's weird because as parents, we tend to assume that a child is unable to do something, so we avoid it at all. Like, for instance, I'm not going to give my three-year-old a knife to take to her dinner plate and cut up her own food. It's too risky. Mm. I'll go over there. I'll cut it for her.
Right.
He has this policy of, I want my daughter to never hide anything from me so she can say exactly how she feels. And that includes cussing. And so at six, they're in the line at both of your heads just go, oh. So they're at the line at Chick-fil-A, and someone took too long to – like it's their turn to scoot up.
Oh, gosh.
And so she rolls the window down. It tells her the person in front of them to move their F and A.
Right.
I don't want you to have to censor it again. And he had to have a talk with her about time and place. And ever since then – they haven't had an issue. So she knows she doesn't do it at school. She doesn't do it at church. She doesn't do it in front of her mom. But when she's alone with dad, Watch out.
Gosh.
So time and place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's worked. The kid's 9 now, and they don't – and she's not crazy. Dude, at 6, I was like, she's going to be a nightmare at 10. And she's the sweetest kid now. But when they're alone, she can be herself. And I'm like, most people don't teach their kids time and place. What they do is they black out a behavior until you're 15 or older. And then you're like, okay, we'll let you have a phone. We'll let you do this a little bit at a time. He's taking the exact opposite approach, and I'm obsessed with how that dynamic is working out. I'm rambling. Point is, time and place. I mean, it's like
I mean, we get power to whatever we get power to.
On television, on regular television, they're allowing, you know, ladies' parts to be shown, or at least secretly shown.
Some stuff, yeah.
To share.
Alluding to it, yeah.
Alluding to it. And it's gone as far as allowing gentlemen to... You know,
a lot of butts. Yeah, a lot of butts.
I mean,
he smiled so big right now. He smiled so big. He said butts, and you looked at me like Captain Morgan. You just go,
but
Shameless. Yeah, Shameless is a good example.
But with that,
great show, by the way.
Now, today, they're not allowed to actually take a sip on television. They can have a glass of wine or whatever in their hands.
Really?
But they're not allowed to take a sip of a spirit on camera. Nor are they allowed to, of course, it's, you know, smoking on camera. They can have a cigarette.
Smoking's the biggest faux pas, right? Yeah. Like on Facebook advertising, I can promote a whiskey or, you know, I mentioned Copper and King's Brandy Pick is showing up as an advertisement in my feed. But Facebook will not allow any tobacco product advertisement, even if it's a cigar, which is a completely different ball game. It's not perfectly healthy, but... It's not cigarettes.
I mean,
it's
nothing not marketed is healthy towards kids. In this world anyway. So
I don't understand that. A GMO orange is not as any better than a cigar. Just not.
Sure.
There's chemicals in everything, so it makes no sense. It really doesn't. But
I never understood the aversion.
I have a Monster right there waiting for me, and the amount of chemicals in that is probably
is astronomical. So I got introduced to that 2 weeks ago in Kentucky. When you make those Kentucky trips, you're up at 7 a.m. All day, driving all over the state.
Still waiting for my invitation, by the way.
Yeah. You want to come on a pick? You can come on a pick. We do picks 3 times a year. So we'll be doing something probably March or something.
Wow.
But we go up there. We picked 8 barrels. I actually have something. If you're a barrel fan, we picked out some 13-year-old Canadian cash strength rye.
Yeah.
And they've never released anything like that.
Wow.
It's 13 years old and it's like apples.
I didn't question. I'm like, where are the Canadian whiskeys? Like, why haven't they?
Pendleton
like,
does some good stuff.
I mean, with all the whiskeys that
Pendleton
really,
still doesn't get the credit it deserves. I mean, there's a lot
1910
of.
1910 is my favorite thing they ever do.
Alberta gets some love. Yeah, MGP gets some love, but the
like
everything else in Canadian
commercially, they're not. It's not as relevant as like the American whiskey boom and the single malts boom and the blended.
If you want to throw that in there, then I mean, you throw Irish whiskey into that hat. They haven't gotten much recognition that
you,
they deserve.
You want to know what it is?
That's not true.
I'll tell you what it is. I mean, they get a little more.
They get more, Irish, but it's still in that same boat.
I think it has to do with a boring category. And what I mean by that is it's like Armagnac is the second slowest moving category next to Grappa. Yeah, they're boring categories. And Armagnac is typically cut to 80 proof, right? They don't do anything crazy to it. And it's just the same thing as it always has been. Nothing's changed in 200 years for this category. And that's the same way with Canadian whiskeys have typically been 80 proof, your Crown Royal. Like, there's just nothing exciting or innovative about the category.
There's a guy I met. I opened up the Noble Experiment in Pearland, you know, a couple of years ago. And his grandmother passed away. He inherited her farm, 100 acres. And they were going through the lot because apparently she's had it in the family for years. And so they found 4 Crown barrels that were buried in the ground. And they went back to late 1800s.
Have anything in them?
Everything in them.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
Yep. He still has one more barrel left. They divvied it up within the family so everybody would have a piece
of it. It's just an old barrel full of spirits that were buried under the ground.
I don't know how good it is. I don't know how bad it is.
Oh, it's probably horrible, but I still taste it.
Oh, it's just a giant oak bomb.
I'd still taste it. I mean, you're talking about 100 plus years of – and now I guess the ground thing would help, right? I mean –
It would help.
I mean, it's still going to be aged.
It's still going to be heavily.
But my point is that go back to the early days of whiskey. Right now, people think of Canadian whiskey as blended whiskey. It's just whatever.
And blended whiskey is the most masterpiece of the single malt.
Oh, that's why I love Japanese whiskey, because the art is in the blend. Hell, some of those master blenders don't even change their morning routine for years upon years just because – they don't want to mess with their blending process.
And gosh, could you?
There's been some innovation attempts. Like, you know, Crown Royal has done a different you know, the bourbon mash. They did the they've done all these different versions of the Crown line. I think if Crown Royal wants to change the game, they've got to release a cask strength offering. Just you don't have to do anything crazy.
Strength, a Crown?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any cask strength Crown. But if they did if they did a Crown Royal cask strength or barrel strength or whatever, I think you would see a massive jump in sales. For I mean, you're getting a. You don't think so?
No, I think Crown's done a very wonderful job of capturing the market of who they're looking for. Like your apples, your you know whatever it may be.
Sure.
The XR, I think, was there an XR or something? Crown
an XR
or
and an XR.
Yeah.
They've done a wonderful job with that. So I think when you go outside the line, it's been so long since they've been into, they've been taken seriously into, I guess, craft bartending.
Sure.
I'm not insulting anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
They would have to do another marketing push to get back into that.
But that's what they did with Bourbon Mash, right? So the whole reason they released Bourbon Mash was to appeal to the bourbon drinkers. So they're not going to lose their audience that they already have, the ones you said, sure. The ones that they're marketing to.
But even then, people still walk in and go, hey, do you have Crown Apple? Do you have Crown this? Do you have Crown that? It's
do
never
they really?
It's never Crown
Bourbon.
Oh,
I get
bourbon.
That all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I get yelled at when it's on Tito's or group. Tito's.
Apple? People get mad when you don't have, Tito's, yeah. All your staples.
I don't carry regular Jack Daniels. I carry Jack Daniels Single Barrel Cask Strength Barrel Proof.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's delicious. That's the only one awesome. I carry.
The Frank Sinatra was off the chain.
I haven't tried the Frank Sinatra yet. Gosh. I need to try that.
But point being is they're going to have to invest a whole lot into that.
Well, they lost a ton of money because they got called out. You can't have anything that says bourbon on it. That's not from America. It's a Canadian product. So they TTB pulled their suspended – or actually, their label approval was surrendered to the TTB. What? And they gave them a deadline of 1 year to sell whatever they already had out there on the market. And then the rest has to go. And that's already passed. So,
no way.
Wow.
It was a big –
Has it
a whole
been a year
big,
since that came out?
It might be a year. Might not. I mean, if you still see it on the shelf, I don't think you will. I mean, people went and grabbed it up because they knew the controversy around it. They grabbed it strictly for its potential value instead of what it tasted like.
Dude, that secondary market life is unreal.
It's ridiculous. Every year
here and there, but man,
every year for the social, we've got to source a few bottles from secondary, and it hurts. It hurts. $800-900 for a bottle.
Oof. Really?
I'm glad to know you and Brooke Todd.
Oh, you know Brooke Todd?
Yeah, so he used to be my regular over at in Baybrook, and then as soon as I left there, I kind of lost touch with him. I mean, we're friends on Facebook, but nothing
serious.
But
he's in the – I think he lives in the Heights, right?
But he came to Ninja Ramen for the NASA Select stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They raided – they did everything.
Yeah, and I didn't – I didn't
NASA
like –
had a raffle, and basically in order to be a part of the raffle, you had to visit all the different restaurants that carry NASA barrels. And so it was good for the bars because they would get guaranteed business, right? So someone would come into your bar and buy a glass of
– And all you had to do was carry a bottle or
all you had to do was carry NASA's bottle. It was guaranteed sales. And so it was like a scavenger hunt. And you just wanted to go around to all these different bars and buy a pour of something from NASA from these bars. And him and his wife took the weekend off – or the week off. And just four or five nights in a row hit every bar in Houston.
I
that
know.
Character.
I was hearing everything about them.
And they won a lot at the event. They won, I want to say, no less than 7 bottles, 8 bottles.
Good.
Yeah, they good did crazy. Wow. But yeah, but he came in. He was
is
talking about.
Is that a
about,
yearly thing? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
This is their second year doing it or third year?
Oh, so it's
this
new.
Is their second year, yeah. So what they did is instead of selling their allocations.
Okay, this is NASA wine and.
NASA Liquors down in.
NASA Liquor in Clear Lake. Over there off El Camino.
Okay,
and there. You never go down that way, right? It's
well, Rosewater's near there.
Rosewater. How'd it go, by the way?
Oh, my God. That was insane. I actually got tired making cocktails.
It's the most beautiful bar, but I wish they would expand a little bit. I know that says, you know, it's a lot of work to expand a bar. But
Pasha is a lot like Chris Fong.
I love
Pasha.
All he
really cares about is just taking care of people and having fun with what he does.
He wants to do an episode where we talk about so in the last – I keep talking about last week's episode, but in last week's episode, we talked about wanting to have like a Joe Rogan-esque podcast where we just kind of – no censor, just like the stuff we talked about off camera a few minutes ago, just put it all out there. And Pasha has this idea. He wants to come in and do a NASA episode because him and – you know, he works at NASA, the space
NASA
agency.
NASA.
Yeah. Not the liquor store.
Yeah. I called him one day on like some like MIB something of another. He's like, Dwayne, the ship just blew up in NASA. And I'm like, I can't talk to you right now. I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'll call you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like a real professional six-figure job. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a really good, great job. But his bar is next to an empty, what do you call it? If it's in a strip and you have a suite next to him is empty. And I think they should mirror his bar. So his bar right now is against the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what time I know.
So make it into like a horseshoe and have the other side of the bar too.
Right. Sort of like what Dead Rabbit's doing with their parlor. I don't know.
I've never been to Dead Rabbit, but just expand a little bit.
Yeah, but they're doing the same sort of thing with the expansion with their I forget the name of it.
Expanding the bar, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
The parlor, right? So
it's downstairs, the parlor.
Rosewater's the most gorgeous, aesthetically appealing.
That's lovely.
Shout out to Pasha.
Shout out to you. Also, thank you for having soy sauce. I ran a soy sauce during a pop up, but he had some back. It. Just like only Pasha would have soy sauce in his bar.
Pasha.
Believe it or not, that was 4 segments. That was an hour. So we weren't done talking. So this is for the iTunes portion only. We're gonna do one more segment and then we'll let everybody get out of here. But we wanted to try this navel rum.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Amarone.
Hey, by the way, guys, if you swarm my cocktail, I'll be doing a pairing dinner at the end of this, and I'll let y'all try it as a little special gift.
Careful now. What? Careful now. We have a few more viewers than I think you may realize.
Well, I need as much outreach as I can.
Well, this is
lovely.
It's fantastic. So thick, and I'm not going to make the sound.
You know, this
I mean, I just kind of want to make the sound.
It's so fragrant.
One of my dear friends here in Houston, she's running around with this maple syrup. That's what this reminds me of.
Who is this friend? Ooh. Do I know her?
Miss Maxwell, if you're nasty.
Wait, what?
Stephanie Maxwell.
I know Stephanie Maxwell.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Smash.
Sounds like a college name.
You need to talk to Chris Wong about that story.
Oh, no. Before I met Stephanie, I was at Pico's and all these girls were like, I can't wait for you to meet Smash.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.